Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはニュースエピソードです。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to a news episode on
Japan Top 10. Hello
everyone, and welcome to another episode of Japan Top 10. Today we're bringing you the news edition for the spring of 2024. So we're now coming towards, I guess, the middle ends of March, and spring is upon us. So we're going to dive into all the news and what's trending in Japan currently. But before we jump right into it, I'm your host, Shana, and with me is...
Hi, I'm Haru.
And we're going to just jump right into some of our headlines. But before that, we have a couple of announcements. So we're currently looking for a new on-air host to volunteer and join our podcast. So if you're interested, please do take a look at our website at jtop10.jp for all the details on how to apply. And if you love Japanese music, Japanese culture, then this is a great opportunity.
Yes, and are you an indie band or artist that makes Japanese music and looking to be featured on our podcast? Reach out to our music director, Nola, by sending her an email at nola@jtop10.jp. That is nola@jtop10.jp. We may feature you on a future episode. See our website at jtop10.jp for more information.
And our features are not limited to indie bands and artists only. So if you want to advertise on our podcast, you can. You can market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts out there. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that'll fit your company's budget. So you can find all the details at jtop10.jp and find an advertising plan that suits your company's needs.
And finally, do you want to hear more music on our episodes? Join our Patreon club at jtop10.jp/club, starting at just $1 a month, and support our podcast along with getting more music and insights to Japanese music culture.
Okay, great. So now let us dive right into our headlines from Japan. Wait, Haru, do you have any expectations on what the news from Japan is going to look like?
Let's see. I think that there are quite good news.
Lots of good news.
Some like sad news. Yeah, both, I guess.
Always. I feel like when you're talking about, I mean, there's always going to be good stuff and bad stuff happening out there, but we're here to give it to you. So we're jumping right into headlines from Japan. And our first story is about record profits for Japanese firms amid sluggish wages. So this is actually referencing the Nikkei 225, which is the Tokyo Stock Exchange's stock market index that measures the performance of 225 large publicly owned companies in Japan. So on March 4th, actually, the index surpassed 40,000 for the first time in history as companies start to enjoy really strong earnings. So this is a record profit because... And it comes as a bit of big news here because the Japanese yen has been weakening due to differing interest rates between Japan and the US. But this has actually then boosted profits for exporters.
However, these earnings have not been accompanied with wage growth for employees, which has been unable to keep up with inflation for the last 2 years and affected consumption. And Germany overtook Japan in February as the third largest economy by nominal GNP.
This is actually, I think, very relevant right now because I feel like a lot of countries are going through this inflation where lifestyles just cannot be met. Like this increase in lifestyle consumption and inflation in general has really... been a hit to a lot of wage workers, and you can clearly see that here, though, where companies that export are doing a lot better, but with like a lack of growth in wages, you don't really see people being able to meet the standard of living there.
Yeah, that's true. And like for me, like Japanese economy is always like, you know, like stable in like a good way or like bad way, but anyway, like other countries are like growing so quickly, like India, yeah, because of like the, you know, the population and also like the like economic like growth rate.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that India will surpass Japan pretty soon. Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, but it's definitely like a very unstable situation right now for a lot of countries, in both good ways and bad ways, and you know.
Yeah,
it's just a cyclical thing, but definitely not great for the average wage worker there.
Yeah. And another story we have is changes to Japanese romanization. The official guidance for writing Japanese words using the English alphabet has switched from the Kunde system to the Hepburn system, following a recommendation from Japan's Agency for Cultural Affairs. The Kunde system has been used since 1954 in public signs, Japanese passports, foreign language dictionaries, schools, and other publications, but has been criticized for not being applicable for everyday life and confusing to locals and non-Japanese alike.
This is actually really relevant because a lot of people found the romanization hard to understand. Like, for example, Shinjuku, the ward, were under the Hepburn system, is spelled Shinjuku. So Shinjuku, which is S-H-I-N-J-U-K-U, under the Hepburn system would be spelled S-I-N-Z-Y-U-Y-U-K-U. In the Kunre system, Fukushima is Fukushima, and Chichibu, which is a city in the Saitama prefecture, is Titibu. The Kunre system actually takes into account the differences in Japanese phonology, so particularly its palatalized consonants when compared to English. So the Hepburn system is thought to be more in line with English pronunciation. Ultimately, Japanese romanization is a pronunciation guide for both locals and non-Japanese people alike when it comes to being able to pronounce words. So it's interesting then to see the shift in system to make it easier and more, you know, accessible for other speakers. But again, that's a very contentious or very easily debatable idea.
So Shana, which do you prefer, the Kunde system or the Hepburn system?
I can definitely see the benefit of the Hepburn system, but having had to, you know, still currently learning Japanese, and the Kunre system obviously being what I've been learning with so far. There's a bit of like, you know, I will miss you there. But I think it's really interesting to then see how the world is expanding, where we're starting to take into account different dialects and the need for that cross-cultural interaction.
Oh, that's interesting. For me, or like most Japanese people, learn the kunle system first for like typing Japanese words on the keyboard, like when we are in elementary school. But like personally, like after learning English, and yeah, definitely the Hepburn system is much more like comfortable. So yeah, I agree that using the Hepburn system is much better for foreign tourists.
Do you think that the transition from the kunre system to the Hepburn system will be easier for like a lot of people who've, say, learnt within the kunre system? Is it easy then to shift over to the Hepburn system?
I guess like both are fine. Like personally, I use both of them in my daily life.
Okay.
And yeah, then I think like many Japanese people can read both of them. Yeah, for
sure. Okay. So it's not going to be like a major like shock change where people have to like relearn stuff. Okay, that's actually a great note for like reference that things aren't like going through dramatic changes, but it's small changes that, you know, open up, makes the language more accessible, because I mean, it's definitely not an easy language to learn for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
The struggle is real. Doing my best every day. But now on to a news that really shocked the nation. Shohei Ohtani announced his marriage and truly broke hearts everywhere. So Shohei Ohtani, the professional baseball pitcher and designated hitter for the Los Angeles Dodgers, announced his marriage on February 28th, 2024 via Instagram. If you don't know, Shohei Ohtani is like the golden boy of the Japanese as far as baseball goes. Or I think he's just a well-loved person in general. Definitely a national star. But Ohtani signed a 10-year, $700 million contract with the Dodgers last December. And this is actually the largest contract in professional sports history. And Ohtani held a news conference on his marriage announcement without revealing the name of his new spouse, other than to say that she was a non-celebrity Japanese woman. So while this may strike people as strange or unnecessary, the Japanese press tend to be far more interested in the personal life of Japanese athletes compared to journalists abroad. And the official Japanese and English announcements posted to Ohtani's account were not the same, with the Japanese version requesting that journalists refrain from contacting his wife or his wife's families.
When asked why he made an announcement at the press conference at the Dodgers spring training complex, he commented, "If I didn't, you would make a fuss." The news of Ohtani's marriage comes not long after figure skater Yuzuru Hanyu announced his divorce last November, just over 3 months after announcing his marriage due to privacy concerns.
I think it's a really sad situation when, you know, like, I understand that it's the job of journalists to get information, but I think that it's gotten to an extreme where, you know, these... any celebrity or any personality who has any fame is also still a person, and there are certain boundaries and privacy that must be protected. So I think it's really sad when they have to go out there and actively announce things just to get people off their back. I think you've seen it, we see it a lot in like Western media when we talk about like celebrities. But I guess in the Japanese context, Japanese athletes also hold the same intense standard of following and interest, right?
That's true. Yes. But you know what? Actually, Shohei Ohtani revealed his wife already. So now everyone knows.
Yeah. That's also true.
She is actually a former basketball player, Mamiko Tanaka. And yeah, now... yeah, everyone knows.
So, I mean, yeah, clearly, I don't think you could have kept it from the internet for like too long, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where mega fans really go into it and will find any and all information. Nothing is a secret as long as the internet exists.
Mm.
But I think it also says a lot about, you know, Japanese fan culture or just fan culture in general, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely very intense. But heart goes out. I'm so happy that, like, you know, he's found someone that he loves and, you know, gotten married. I'm talking about him like he's my best friend. But, you know, it's still really wonderful to see, you know, love.
Yeah, everyone thinks that. Yeah. So he's a superstar and everyone loves him. Yeah.
I hope that, you know, it doesn't get intense as far as, you know, publicity goes or journalistic intrusiveness goes. But it's one of those things where, you know, you put yourself out there online and fans go crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of love for him and will forever be the idol of Japanese baseball.
Yeah. Personally, I'm looking forward to, like, the games starting from probably... now it's he's playing in Korea now, so.
yes. So, yeah. I mean, clearly that intensity will never go away for him.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Now, on to some slightly more heartbreaking news here. Recovery efforts are actually still going on after the 2024 Noto Peninsula earthquake. The 2024 Noto Peninsula earthquake on January 1st has had a lasting effect on the local community, with many affected being unable to return to their homes or jobs after an estimated 76,000 homes were damaged. And this is according to a Feb 22nd report from the Cabinet Office.
Nearly 13,000 people remain housed at 521 evacuation centers. City workers are working an average of 84 hours of overtime in the town of Suzu, according to the Asahi Shimbun, or Asahi newspaper. Organizations like Red Cross Japan and Second Harvest Japan are providing medical and food supplies to the disaster-hit area. Long-term support will be required for cleaning and repairing damaged houses and providing care to those affected.
It's so sad when, you know, you see the after effects of natural calamities, and lots of prayers and hearts go out to the people affected by the earthquake. But I think this is also testament to, like, the gravity of the situation as far as, you know, natural calamities go. It's definitely a scary situation.
Yes, and personally, I experienced a little tremor, like, when I was in Kanagawa Prefecture, which is very far from Noto City, just, like, completely the opposite side. And then I turned on the TV, and the news anchor shouted out for residents in Noto to evacuate immediately from the tsunami, and it was so scary, and, yeah,
can't
very
even imagine
chaotic.
The absolute fear that was going on in the Noto area, peninsula at the time. We hope that it gets better, the situation improves, and people return back to their homes and are no longer displaced.
Yeah.
It's also one of those moments that kind of unites a lot of people, I feel. It's a really scary situation, but I think there's some faith in humanity that's restored when you see people coming forward to help.
We appreciate donations from around the world for Noto Peninsula, I mean, the earthquake. So yeah, we are very thankful for that. And the last news in this section is rebounding tourism. Tourist spending surpassed 5 trillion yen, which is approximately $34 billion last year, 80% of pre-pandemic levels, according to the Japan National Tourism Bureau. The highest amounts were spent on hotels, restaurants, and activities, including a growing trend towards experiences over customer goods. In an EY Japan survey of European and North American visitors experiencing Japanese traditional culture and cuisine, as well as the relative safety in Japan were indicated as top reasons to visit, in addition to the cheap yen. As an example of activities that hospitality companies are offering to tourists, Tobu Top Tours providing tours of Japan from Hokkaido to Okinawa in a 17-day excursion for 1,280,000 yen, which is approximately $8,702, while the Palace Hotel Concierge provides a shamisen making workshop experience and observation of small wrestlers' early morning practice.
We're back to seeing a lot of tourism in Japan, but it's really interesting now to see why, you know, people are visiting Japan. Obviously, there's a lot of love and interest going around about Japanese culture and society and, you know, wanting to go and visit.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting then to see that people are now, especially after the pandemic, really prioritizing experiences over consumer goods and buying things as such.
Yeah, and
it's indicative of a really great tourism experience there, right?
Of course, and yeah, I've seen many foreign tourists in Tokyo, and yeah, it is great that, you know, they help to boost the Japanese economy. So yeah, we appreciate, then we welcome foreign tourists.
So I think that is an invitation from Haru. So all the people who are listening, contemplating that trip to Japan, do it. Because obviously you have someone with a stamp of authority, you know, really pushing for it. But I mean, I think there is lots of value in experiencing things. And I love that people are going forward and, you know, looking to explore more rather than buy a souvenir and say that they've visited. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm so glad to see that shift happening.
And Shana, personally, like, where do you want to visit and what do you want to do in Japan?
I have always, I'm a big, like, animal lover, so I always wanted to go to the Nara Palace see the deer.
That's a good choice. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, the temple. Was it a temple or a palace? I don't remember. I mostly focused on the deer.
I think it's a shrine. Yeah, it's shrine.
Yeah, I remember it being a shrine, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm not sure. I've been there once, but...
Yes, the Nara Shrine Deer, yes.
Yes.
I actually remember the reason why that interest peaked was actually an episode I did for the podcast. And I think we were doing a trip around Japan and we were talking about Nara. And I forgot who it was, but and my co-host at the time was talking about her experience with the deer.
Oh.
I was like, I want to do that. I want to feed violent deer. But it sounds it sounds beautiful.
Yeah. They are cute, but sometimes. But yeah, it'll be a great experience for sure.
See, prioritizing experience over consumer goods. Yeah. It's definitely a shift.
Yeah.
And talking about shifts, we're now going to shift over to our first song of the episode, which is I Sentry by Uberworld. Uwe World is a six-piece rock band from Shiga, formed in 2000.
Uwe World is known for their rap rock vocals and combining traditional rock instruments with saxophone, and have won a Japan Gold Disc Award and Space Shower Music Award.
Ice Sentry was featured as the opening theme song for Season 3 of Blue Exorcist, the Shimane Illuminati arc, and that debuted in Jan 2024. So the band actually previously contributed two songs to the anime series and the feature film. I really actually enjoyed this. I'm not a very rap rock girly, but this was a very lovely song choice, I must say.
Yeah, that's true. And for me, like, I like its lyrics that tell the importance of being myself. And like these days, like, I've been having a tough time because like I was like rejected. But anyway, so yeah, now yeah, I understand believing myself and also like being myself for sure.
Always lots of love for you, Haru. You are a gem.
Thank you.
Always. And you know, I think this song is then the perfect pick me up.
Yeah.
Definitely stay true to yourself. And you can also hear that combination of traditional rock and that intermingling of the Western and Eastern sounds there. Very like classic, in a classic way, and I love that.
Yeah.
So very staying true to oneself, we love it.
Yeah.
And that being said, we will now jump into our next section, which is our otaku announcements. For all the gamers out there, we have lots of really interesting news about the gaming world. And first up, we are talking about a new game, which was released on March 22nd this year, and that is Princess Peach Showtime. So the game actually stars Peach in her first solo game since Super Princess Peach in 2005, as she partners with floating star Stella to save Sparkle Theater from Grape and the Sour Bunch. Peach can take on new abilities as she transforms into a ninja, cowgirl, sword fighter, detective, patissiere, kung fu master, thief, figure skater, superhero, and mermaid. She's wearing lots of hats. And honestly, I really want to play this game.
Oh.
Were you a big Mario fan, Haru?
Not really. But yeah, I know that the Princess Peach is a character of Super Mario Brothers, but how do you like the Princess Peach?
I loved her.
Mm.
Okay, did you watch the Mario movie that came out?
Mario movie? No, I didn't.
Okay, yes, but Princess Peach was very cool there, so lots of love for her. That being said, I'm really glad to see that like she's got this spin-off as well. And also, I'm loving her abilities. I would also love to transform into a ninja, detective, pâtissier, figure skater. That's like baby Shana's dream jobs all put in one. I'm absolutely here for it.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. But by the way, what it's like, how do we play this game? Like on, I don't know, Switch or...
I think the Nintendo Switch actually. It is made specifically for that device.
Do you have Switch?
I do not.
Oh.
But I had a Nintendo DS.
Oh, yeah.
Shout
Me
out
too.
To all the Nintendo DS kids.
Yeah, so, same here.
Well, my friend had one and I borrowed it continuously. So at some point it was like shared property.
Okay, well, yeah, you must play this game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That being said, my friend also did get a Switch. So shared property once again will play the Princess Peach game.
Yeah. And another otaku, another gaming news we have is AU Den Chronicle. 100 Heroes debuts this April 23rd on the PS5, Xbox, XSN1, and PC. AU Den Chronicle is a successor to Suikoden, a role-playing game about a protagonist leading a battle party to restore peace to his home by defeating the corrupt bearers to the all-powerful True Runes. The game was fundraised through Kickstarter, exceeding all of its original stretch goals within 3 to 4 hours. It raised 4,541,481 with 46,307 backers, making it the third highest funded video game in Kickstarter history. Oh, that's a lot.
You know, I was never a Suikoden player, so I don't have too much to add here. Mm-hmm. But that's this actually sounds so cool.
Yeah, and I searched for Suikoden, and it looks like a Chinese. The idea comes from China.
Oh, the Chinese visual RPG.
Yeah, I think
RPG
so. Like
games?
Chinese historical story, I guess. Yeah, not sure.
I guess we have another game to now check out.
Yeah.
I will play Suikoden and at some point in time come back with my opinions. That being said, another game that is coming up as a sequel or a successor rather is Dragon's Dogma 2, which is the sequel to Dragon's Dogma, which was released in 2012. So this is the latest game by Capcom, and it was released on the 22nd of March. The hero Arisen is marked by a dragon that they must defeat, and they then navigate a geopolitical conflict between two kingdoms. Players can customize their avatars and allies as non-playable characters known as pawns, and they can also recruit pawns created by other players. So it features open-world gameplay with a map 4 times larger than its predecessor, so lots of areas to explore, and lots of emergent events in which players must react by creating new destructible environments, and more dialogue from non-playable characters for a more immersive experience. I love that a new priority for games is making the entire experience more immersive, building the world, and I feel like something that really pushed this trend was Genshin. At least that's when online I saw a lot more conversation about world building and creating an immersive world beyond quests and side quests. So I really love seeing that games or even successors of original games are taking on that space.
Oh, wow. I just watched some images of Dragon's Dogma, and it looks like really like realistic, I guess. It's like a, you know, like a movie.
So if you're a fan of very realistic visuals, this just might be a game for you.
Yeah, that's true. And now we are moving on to some anime news. The first news that we have to mention is the legacy of Akira Toriyama. Akira Toriyama, best known for manga series Dr. Slump in 1980, Dragon Ball in 1984, and Sandland in 2000, passed away at the age of 68 on March 1st, 2024. Until his death, Toriyama served as a lead character designer for Dragon Quest, wrote the manga Dragon Ball Super, and was working on the animated series Dragon Ball Daima, the fifth installment of the Dragon Ball franchise, revealed at New York Comic Con 2023. Over the course of his career, Toriyama published 51 manga series and one-shots that spanned several TV, film, and video game adaptations in Japan and overseas. In 2019, Toriyama was knighted with the French Order of Arts and Letters, awarded to individuals who have made a significant contribution to the enrichment of French cultural inheritance. Dragon Ball is considered to have been a catalyst in making Japanese manga and anime a global phenomenon.
I was absolutely heartbroken in the morning when I saw this news, because I remember being like a kid and watching like the Dragon Ball series. So definitely a big part of my childhood. Like, his legacy will again forever remain on.
Yes.
I think Dragon Ball is a testament to how art and culture can change an economy and, you know, bring to light this entire subculture or culture that has now grown to be such a big phenomenon, right?
Yeah.
But still absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah, me too. Like, it was so shocking news, not only in Japan, but also overseas.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there are many Dragon Ball fans around the world. And yeah, his contribution was so huge.
Absolutely. Were you a big Dragon Ball Z lover or Dragon Ball fan?
Not really, but I think I watched Dr. Slump when I was a kid, like really little, like 3 or something. Yeah.
I actually never got around to watching Dr. Slump or even reading Dr. Slump, so definitely something that I'm planning on doing now. Mm-hmm. But I love that he is immortalized by his creations, because I remember seeing an interview where I think it was the voice actor of one of the Dragon Ball characters who was saying that Toriyama sensei told her to take care of the character, and it was so heartwarming. Know what I mean? But definitely like somber news, and unfortunately our next piece of news doesn't really lighten it too much, but Chibi Maruko-chan's voice actress Tarako passed away. So Tarako, who's best known for voicing the titular character of Chibi Maruko-chan, which is in the long-running animated family drama, passed away on March 4th, 2024. She had voiced the character for 34 years until her death. She was also known for her voice work in Inuyasha as Kirara, and in Hunter x Hunter, the 1999 one as Melody, and Trigun as Zazie the Beast.
Were
you her fan?
Yes, definitely. I used to watch Chibi Maruko-chan every Sunday evening from 6 p.m. So yeah, I still can't believe that now Maruko is not here anymore.
It's definitely heartbreaking, because you associate, especially with voice actors, you associate so much of the character to the voice.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
I mean, she had such a long career. 34 years is not a small number.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
But, you know, she was 63 years old, was too young.
Yeah. Very heartbreaking. I mean, lots of love to all the fans of both Chibi Maruko and Akira Toriyama. Definitely a sad time right now for any fans of Japanese manga anime.
Yeah, definitely.
That being said, though, we will move on to some slightly more upbeat news here. We're about to talk about the new and returning anime series for the spring of 2024. This marks a new anime season, and here are some of the most hotly anticipated series. Up first, we have Sandland. So, as we spoke about, based on the late Akira Toriyama's hit manga series, Sandland has received its first anime adaptation since it was first serialized in the weekly Shonen Jump in 2000. Sandland premiered on Disney Plus on March 20th, and the story is actually set in the future where the Earth is a barren wasteland controlled by a greedy king. Three adventurers, Sheriff Rao, Beelzebub, and Thief, search for a new water supply. So if you're a big fan of shonen anime, this is definitely one I think you'd want to look out for.
Yeah, that's true. And another one is Windbreaker. Windbreaker is adapted from the 2021 manga of the same name by Satoru Nii and follows the students of Hurin High School who get in brawls with anyone who causes trouble for their town.
And up next we have Bartender Glass of God. So Bartender Glass of God is based on the 2004 manga by Joe Araki and follows Ryu Sasakura, a bartending prodigy who runs Eden Hall, a bar in Tokyo's upscale Ginza district. Each of his patrons come in with various problems that are resolved through just the right drink that complements their unique situation. Now, I'm actually really, really excited for this one. I really love the premise of it because I'm actually very fascinated with bartending culture. And I think this is going to be a really cool anime, at least for those who enjoy general, not slice of life, but slightly more complex animes.
Wow, sounds interesting.
I'm really, really excited for it. So again, another thing on my coming back with opinions list is Bartender Glass of God.
And we also have High Speed 8-Wall. High Speed 8-Wall is an original animation about auto racing that follows a next generation racing event called NEX Race with new technology that makes it safe to drive at over 500 kilometers per hour. Oh, that's so fast. The animation features collaborations with Japan's Super Formula Championship. Formula is Tokyo E-Prix and F1's Japanese Grand Prix. And the theme song will be performed by Nana Mizuki and Scandal. The series comes at a time with greater focus on female race car drivers in Japan like Juju Noda, Ryo Shimoto, and Miki Koyama.
I think this anime is going to get a lot of attention because there's so much focus on Formula One right now. I feel like it got this massive boost in popularity. So I'm loving the, you know, fan culture around it. I love the internet so much and the way it trolls on things, but I definitely see Formula One rising in popularity.
And yeah, I didn't know much about like female race, how do you say, like drivers? Yeah, it must be interesting.
Definitely an anime for all the Formula One fans out there. That being said, we have another anime on our list here, which is The Fable. So based on the 2014 manga by Katsuhisa Minami, The Fable follows a professional killer known as Fable, who is feared by the Japanese underworld for his ability to kill anyone in 6 seconds. One day, his sponsor orders him to lead the life of an ordinary citizen with a ban on killing anyone for a year. Living among criminal gangs in Osaka, he begins the most difficult task of his career. The voice cast include Kenjiro Tsuda, Kazayuki Okitsu, Jun Fukushima, Kana Hanazawa, Akio Otsuka, and Miyuki Sawashiro. Oh, whoa, that's pretty. It's pretty star-studded cast there. I mean, yeah. As far as voice acting, the voice cast goes.
Yeah, and the story sounds, yeah, very interesting.
I've also seen, like, this rise in assassin, professional killer fame following Spy X Family. But this is definitely a really interesting one. I haven't read the manga, The Fable, but definitely one I'm going to keep an eye out for now.
Yeah, for sure. And next up, we have Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night. This original Douga Kobo animation follows four girls, an illustrator, an idol, a VTuber, and a composer who rediscover their creative passions to form an anonymous artist group called Jelly in Shibuya.
Oh, this sounds really interesting. I'm actually excited to watch this one. I didn't know about it before this episode, but definitely one I want to watch now.
Yeah.
I feel like I've said that about all the anime, but oh well. It's binge watch week, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because it's spring.
And in addition to these new titles, anime fans can also actually look forward to the return of Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World, Kimetsu no Yaiba, The Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, My Hero Academia, Laid Back Camp, Sound Euphonium, Black Butler, and Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation. So lots of well-loved anime titles are making their way back onto our list here. And I mean, definitely making the coming back as well, returning to the screens.
Oh, wow. Actually, I don't know anything about those anime series, but yeah, wow, there are so many.
Lots of excitement about a lot of the animes here coming back. So have you not seen any of the ones that are returning soon?
Not sure, but I know, I just know like some titles like the Sound of Euphonium or My Hero Academia. Yeah, I haven't watched those anime series yet.
It's okay. So now you have a list of anime that are returning. So I think, Haru, it's time for you to go back, watch these anime, and then, you know, catch up with the latest seasons coming out.
I should do that. And we've mentioned about Akira Toriyama. So let's take a listen to this song, which is Dandan Kokoro Hikarete Ku by Field of View.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Oh,
that was Dandan Kokoro Hikarete Ku by Field of View. And the title in English is Step by Step, You're Charming My Heart, which was released in 1996 by the rock band Field of View.
This song was featured as the opening theme to Dragon Ball GT, released in 1996, and the ending theme to the film adaptation Dragon Ball the Path to Power in 1996.
The song reached number 4 on the Oricon Singles Chart and it was certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of Japan with over 400,000 copies sold.
And the minimum weight kickboxer, Panchan Rina, whose name is derived from the Dragon Ball character Pan, uses the song as her ring entrance music. That's so cool. I love that. That's the energy I want to enter, end March with, honestly.
Are you familiar with this song?
I'm not, actually. I feel like I've heard it before, but I don't remember this song in particular.
Yeah, me too. Like, I don't remember the song, but I think that I definitely know one of the songs, but not sure.
It's definitely one of those songs that you're like, I've heard before. It's a nostalgic sound, I feel.
Yeah, especially for like Dragon Ball fans like around 1996.
I feel like avid Dragon Ball fans would know this song.
And now, like, we know like how much he was loved by many people, regardless of their races. I mean, like, like his stories and characters and also himself, like, there are so many, like, loves for him.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So we will now go back to our news from Japan after that short musical break. And we have some more headlines for you. While we spoke about the rise of tourism, there is also some consequences to this, which is that the geisha harassment in Kyoto's Gion district leads to a tourism ban in that area. So the city of Kyoto announced that it would be closing off access to some private roads in the Gion district to tourists, and this area is known for its restaurants and tea houses where geisha and maiko, which are geisha apprentices, entertain. In 2019, a 10,000 yen fine was introduced to dissuade unsolicited photography of geisha, but after continued harassment, only artists, clients, and residents of the district will be permitted to enter the area. Public roads in Gion, however, will still remain open.
Yeah, that's understandable, I think, because Maiko and geisha, they're not doing cosplay and they're professionals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like tourism and tourist culture does get out of hand sometimes when you disrespect the rules laid out or the foundation of any part of the culture here, right? And it's definitely a valid step in considering how bad the harassment of geisha and maiko got.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Definitely not a proud moment for tourists there.
Yeah. And our next headline is Oppenheimer to debut in Japan. Christopher Nolan's Academy Award-nominated biographical thriller film Oppenheimer is set to open in Japanese theaters nationwide on March 29th, just over 8 months since its initial release overseas.
Oppenheimer depicts physicist J. Robert Oppenheimer's moral dilemma over his role in the world's first nuclear attack. As the director of the Manhattan Project's Los Alamos Laboratory, where he developed the first nuclear weapons that were used against Japan in the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
The Warner Brothers film group drew controversy in Japan for trivializing the nuclear attacks, and the Japanese branch of the studio demanded an official apology from its parent company after the account responded positively to Barbenheimer memes depicting Margot Robbie as Barbie immersed in atomic blast imagery from Oppenheimer, poking fun at the fact that the two films were released on the same day in the United States.
Obviously, sentiments were hurt here, but now that several months have passed since the initial controversy and the film has won several Academy Awards, Oppenheimer is set to release in Japanese theaters. While some have criticized the film for not depicting the aftermath of the nuclear attacks on victims in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the film became the highest-grossing World War II-related film and won seven Academy Awards, including Best Picture. This is actually a very interesting debate here. Haru, do you have an opinion on Oppenheimer being released in Japanese theaters? Or on Oppenheimer in general?
Okay, so I know the film is very popular and famous in the States. But in my opinion, like, not many Japanese people know about this film compared to Barbie.
Mm.
Yeah, some people don't know about Oppenheimer and the, you know, the story, what the story is about. So yeah, I don't think that this will be popular like the States, I think.
It's definitely a contentious film to release considering what it's about, but obviously you've had lots of World War II films being created. But I think this one is also, it got a lot bigger, obviously because it's a Christopher Nolan film, but also because there was a lot of Barbie versus Oppenheimer news. And I think it's like you still hear about it here and there, but when it was released, I think that was all people were talking about for like a couple of months. Have you seen Oppenheimer?
Movie? Not yet. Yeah, I think I will watch it probably because like my dad is interested in watching like World War II movies. So yeah, perhaps like if he wants to watch it, then I will watch it together.
You'll go like keep him company for the film.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you watch Barbie though?
Somehow like Barbie is pretty popular here in Japan.
Okay.
Yeah, but I haven't watched it yet.
Up next, we have a story about Riken Yamamoto, who won the 2024 Pritzker Architecture Prize. So Riken Yamamoto, 78, was awarded the Pritzker Architecture Prize, which is the highest international architecture award, and he won it this year. So known for his use of lattice structures and glass walls, Yamamoto was praised for his Yokosuka Museum of Art in Kanagawa, built in 2007. Jury chair Alejandro Aravena stated that these glass structures blur the boundary between public and private to enable greater community engagement. Yamamoto is the ninth Japanese architect to be awarded the prize. That's absolutely brilliant, and I love that Japanese architecture is being awarded here. And it's, I think it's really interesting if you look at some of his work, you'll see what the jury chair Alejandro Aravena was saying about the glass structures. So it's a very interesting piece of work to look at there.
Yeah, that's true. Like, because there are many like earthquakes in Japan, like basically we have to, you know, focus on to build like strong buildings rather than, you know, making like fancy buildings. Yeah, and I saw several of like his works, and like they are very modern and futuristic. Yeah, which is quite rare to see in Japan.
That's very interesting. The cross between aesthetic and functionality.
Yeah.
So now we will go for a quick song break, and our song is Tsuki Eiko by Macaroni Empitsu. Arashi no yoru ni sotto kimi wo tsure dashite ugoki dasu mae no uchū wo tsukamaeru tatoe dareka ni totte kimi ga akumade mo betsu ni kankei nai yo kankei nai yo. I'm not going to be able to do
て涙乾いたら約束してた通り月へ行こう月へ行こう
And that was Tsuki e Iko by Macaroni Empitsu, which is a four-piece pop rock band from Kanagawa that has been active since 2012. Tsuki e Iko, which means Let's Go to the Moon, was released on March 8th and is featured in the Japanese dub of the Illumination film Migration, known as Fly in Japan.
The band is set to perform a 27-day nationwide tour from March to July this spring and summer and announced that they will perform the theme song Wasurena Uta for the MAPPA anime Boukyaku Battery, debuting this April.
I enjoyed this song. This was a very interesting addition. And we see the Kanagawa connect here with, you know, the Museum of Art there.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I definitely enjoyed this song. It was a great little break.
Mm-hmm.
Before we jump into our music news.
Yeah, that's true. But personally, I think of this song as a like a heartbreak song. I think this is more about like the beginning of love. But personally, like, yeah, maybe I'm thinking too much or too sentimental. I don't know.
No, it's okay. It's open for interpretation. You can choose whether it is the beginning of a new love or the ending of an old one.
Mm.
So now we are jumping into our music news. So our first piece of music news is about Crystal K. So she recently released her new single, That Girl, produced by Taku Takahashi of M-Flow, on January 29th, 2024. This marks the singer's 25th anniversary since her debut with the single Eternal Memories in 1999. In a February interview with the Japan Times, Kay explained that she has seen her music gain renewed popularity on Spotify, with Gen Z listeners interested in 2000s pop and R&B music.
Yeah, that's true.
I definitely see that rise, the rise of 2000s pop, because that's the music that I'm listening to currently.
Oh, nice.
Lots of nostalgia, I feel like our generation is going through. It was a good era of music.
Yeah, I also remember that in general, like American-influenced music was very popular in the early 2000s, and also like there are some like Japanese American or half Japanese American singers like Utada Hikaru or Ai or Aoyama Teruma. So yeah, by the way, who is your favorite singers in 2000s?
in the 2000s, mostly English singers, I must admit. I'm exploring the 2000s of Japanese music right now. Do you have any favorites?
Favorites? Probably Utada Hikaru, but 90s? I'm not sure. But yeah, 2000s. Oh, there are so many, so many. Like SMAP, I guess. Again. Well, we can't say like Japanese entertainment anymore, but Smile Up.
That's the era we're talking about, right?
Yeah, I recommend. And another music news we have is Japan is gearing up for music festival season, with the largest events being Fuji Rock Festival in Niigata and Summer Sonic in Tokyo and Osaka. Both festival organizers have announced a preliminary lineup, with Fuji Rock announcing Hiromi Uehara, Man with the Mission Tatsuya Kitani, Macaroni Enpitsu that we just listened, and Denki Groove, The Bowdies, Hey Smith, The Spellbound Shikao Suga, and Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra. Summer Sonic will release its first Japanese artist lineup in the coming weeks. Fuji Rock will be held from July 26th to 28th at Naeba Ski Resort, and Summer Sonic will be held at Tokyo's Zozo Marine Stadium and Makuhari Messe and Osaka's Expo 70 Commemorative Park.
Have you been to any of these festivals, Haru?
Not yet, but now we can enjoy attending those concerts because Japan's COVID restrictions have been lifted since last year. Yeah.
So do you think you're going to go for the Fuji Rock Festival or Summer Sonic?
Yeah, but I want to know about like foreign artists, like, you know, from the US or UK or Europe or like maybe Korea, for sure.
But the first lineup looks really, really cool. I'm loving, you know, Tatsuya Kitani and Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra. Definitely some fun names here. So anyone who's in Japan at the time, you have something to look forward to.
Yeah, for sure.
And another piece of Japanese music news we have is Kyusu Nekokami, which is a punk rock band from Nishinomiya in Kobe, will have their song featured as the new anthem for Japanese baseball, playing during a new baseball season between the Hanshin Tigers and the Yomiuri Giants at Koshien Baseball Stadium. And this is starting, or would have started, on March 10th on the Saturday television and radio show MBS Baseball Park. The song is titled Iki Ichiyu, which is One Delight, One Sorrow, a Japanese phrase that actually cautions against feeling overly excited or depressed over a single occurrence, as a reminder to stay motivated. And, you know, I think that is stands very true for a sports game as well. So,
yeah, that's true.
Very excited to, if you are a fan of Japanese baseball, then you would have heard this. Haru, have you heard it?
I'm not sure, because mainly I watch like Shohei Ohtani's game.
That's very, very real. That's why his marriage announcement has gotten broken many hearts in the nation.
And like, speaking of baseball, actually, I did a baseball episode with Kuzey last time. So for baseball fans around there, please take a listen to it.
Solid plug there.
Yeah.
But we will also be plugging you into our break from music with music. Our next song is Saba Sister with their song Jersey, and this is the 2024 version.
ものは大抵ここで見つかるはずだよ可愛かった
And you just heard Jersey. So Saba Sister is a three-piece girl band composed of members Nachi, GK, and Rumi Nasu.
The band formed in March 2022 and met in Tokyo after contacting each other on the online platform Jimoti, which is similar to a Craigslist. And they are scheduled to perform at Arabaki Rock Fest, Japan Jam, and Viva La Rock this year.
So Jersey is featured on their first full-length album, Kakugo o Kimero, which is Prepare Yourself. And this was released on March 8th, 2024. So it's a pretty recent release.
Yeah, and it's a new, I think it's a new artist. Yeah, new band.
Yes, it is, it is.
Yeah.
We're up here listening to new sounds and I'm loving like the new music of it.
Yeah, for me, like, this is obviously a heartbreak song, but you know, the lyrics and like the sounds are very positive, like, you know, just moving forward. So yeah, I think that's what I need right now.
I really like the street style aesthetic of the music video as well, you know, very pop art-esque, so I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
And up next we will move into our next headline, which is our fun news. So up first, our story is about Kabosu, who's the original Doge, inspires a manhole cover in his hometown. Kabosu is the dog that inspired the Doge meme, which now has its own manhole cover in Sakura Furusato Square in the city of Sakura in the Chiba prefecture. So the manhole also features the square's popular windmill and tulip field. Other than Hachiko, the loyal dog that inspired the statue outside of Shibuya Station, Kabosu may be one of the most famous dogs in the world, inspiring the digital currency Dogecoin. Kabosu belongs to owner Atsuko Sato, who's a nursery school teacher who adopted her animal from an animal welfare organization when she was on the verge of being euthanized at the age of 3. She became an overnight sensation after one of the photos of Kabosu giving a side-eye look that Sato posted on her blog went viral. In 2021, Sato raised over 500 million yen, which is close to 3.4 million US dollars, for charity after auctioning off 7 photographs of Kabosu. Last November, international fans of Kabosu raised donations to install a monument in the Sakura Furusato Square in her honor. Have you seen this manhole cover?
Oh, the manhole? No, I haven't. But I did a little bit of research about Kabosu, and now I guess she is 18 years old, which is quite old for a dog. Yeah. And I guess like she's sick? Yeah.
It's very sad to see, but you know, it's one of those things where, you know, everything is growing up and growing old.
Yeah. But you know, like, she's the most famous Shiba dog in the world, so.
That's
I
very
like Shiba dog.
Very real. Kabosu will forever remembered as.
Yeah.
I love that the internet immortalizes so much. It's scary, but it's also like nice. But I mean, here you have such a big following for the original Doge.
And another fun Japanese news we have is principal loses job, teaching license, and retirement pay after coffee theft. A junior high school principal lost his job and retirement pay valued at 20 million yen, approximately $135,000 for overfilling his coffee at a convenience store. The principal paid 110 yen for a regular sized cup, but pressed the button for a large sized cup at the self-service counter, which cost 180 yen. After a store clerk apprehended him, the principal admitted that he had done the same twice before at the same store and four times at another store, bringing the total amount he had stolen to 490 yen. The principal admitted that he had done it on impulse that was truly sorry for his actions. Police sent files to the Himeji branch of the Kobe District Public Prosecutor's Office, who acknowledged that theft, but ultimately chose not to indict him. But his employer had a different view on the matter. The principal's board of education announced that the principal will be dismissed from his job and have his teaching license revoked and have his retirement pay forfeited. As the Hyogo prefectural government dictates that a public servant who commits theft should be either suspended from work or dismissed, this punishment is usually severe.
I think that this is testament, do not steal, even if it's just overfilling your cup of coffee, because consequences exist. But yeah, definitely a bit severe, but who am I to judge when a court of law has, or an employer has made their decision. But yeah, definitely a bit severe for a cup of coffee, but obviously theft is theft.
Yeah, and also like it sometimes happens, this kind of incident at convenience stores, you know, pressing a coffee, I mean like a cafe latte button in a regular coffee cup, because cafe latte is like more expensive than regular coffee. So yeah, but everyone watches. Everyone watches. So yeah, please do not do that. Yeah.
You're never not watched. That is what the testament here is. But here is another employee who's definitely running around having fun, but did not really get as severe of a punishment. So our next story is about a waterworks employee who heats up his bento 188 times. Oh my God. An Osaka Municipal Waterworks Bureau employee was reprimanded after heating up his bento lunch 188 times before lunchtime. The bureau received an anonymous report that the 60-year-old employee had heated up his boxed lunch from the morning to lunchtime for a 14-month period. He had also shut off his computer 30 minutes before his workday ended and left the office 5 minutes early for a 10-month period. After an investigation, it was decided that the employee would not be dismissed, but receive a light warning for his conduct. Employees really are out there having the time of their life.
Yeah.
Would you heat up your bento 188 times, Haru?
But probably after or during lunch break. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 188. 188 seems a bit excessive, though.
Yeah.
Like, but how many minutes, right? That I think that is something. Like, what if
3 minutes?
1 minute, like 30 seconds each time, right? So it's, I can't do the math right now, but 188 30-second intervals.
Oh.
See, that's also a question to be asked. But I don't think the logistics of heating up of the bento was the issue.
And also, like, because he's a public servant, that means, like, his wage comes from our taxes.
Oh, yes.
So, like,
yes.
Yeah, so that is why, you know, it matters. And another fan news we have is Chun Li invites you to Kashihara City, Nara Prefecture. A statue of Chun Li from the popular Capcom series Street Fighter has been erected at a city government building in Kashihara, Nara Prefecture. The city held an unveiling ceremony on March 9th. Kashihara and Capcom, located in Osaka, created an official partnership in August 2022 for regional revitalization. Kenzo Tsujimoto, the founder of Capcom, is originally from Kashihara, and Kashihara began a crowdfunded movement to help fund the statue and ultimately collected 5,570,000 yen, approximately $37,400 from 34 donors. The Chun-Li statue is 1 meter high and made out of bronze. Capcom helped oversee the design of the statue, which features Chun-Li holding her first and hand together. Kashihara Mayor Tadahiko Kameda attended the ceremony along with its supporters, saying that he hopes that with Chun-Li, a video game character beloved all around the world, that they can encourage people to visit Kashihara. Attendees enjoyed a live demonstration by the Kashihara Prefectural High School Kenpo Club, which is a Kung Fu Club, a chance to play Street Fighter, and get a collective pin to commemorate the event. The statue of another Street Fighter character, Ryu, was also placed in Kashihara Navi Plaza last May.
I'm really glad to see this. Street Fighter is a nostalgic game here, and Chun-Li is arguably the best known video game character, female video game character out there.
I actually didn't know Chun-Li, and I looked at the photo of the statue. She looks so muscular, I think.
Yes. That is her entire character, like the muscular fighter girl.
Oh, okay.
It's a very iconic look. For all the Chun-Li fans or the people who don't know Chun-Li, you can go look up this statue and you've probably seen her face somewhere if you are a fan of video games or a general internet, like chronically online kid like me. It's fine. But yeah, no, it's so cool to see that the impact of culture, video games and art on, you know, cities and prefectures, right? So clearly, if you are in Japan, the Kashihara Prefecture is a place to visit and you can take a picture with the Chun-Li statue.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Now, the last piece of news on our list for today is about the Donkey Kong Country theme park, which was previewed in Fukuoka. So Nintendo World at Osaka's Universal Studios in Japan has been bustling with visitors ever since it opened 3 years ago. But the park will soon be expanded to 1.7 times its original size with the addition of a Donkey Kong Country theme park. A preview of the new attractions was held in Fukuoka on March 7th. In addition to a giant statue of Donkey Kong himself, visitors enjoyed trying a new game with light-up conga drums. I think on my bucket list is going to Nintendo World. So I'm very excited to see that it's expanding and growing as the years go by. Are you a Donkey... you weren't a big Nintendo Mario person? Or was Donkey Kong a game that you were...
I'm not familiar with those games, but yeah, I used to play Nintendo. Okay, so it must be Animal Crossing.
That's the Nintendo Switch Nintendo game, no?
Yeah. Yeah, but Nintendo. Okay, I don't know which is which.
But no, definitely something to look forward to for all those who are planning a visit to Nintendo World. Maybe, hopefully you're able to catch the theme park whenever it finally does, or the extension of the theme park whenever it finally does open up.
And this is our last song of this episode. This is Vengeance by Cold Rain. And that was Vengeance by Cold Rain. Cold Rain is a five-piece rock band from Nagoya City, Aichi Prefecture. Cold Rain has been active since 2007 and is known for their all-English post-hardcore music. They made their worldwide debut in 2014 with the single The Revelation. The band has also provided music for other anime including Hajime no Ippo, New Challenger, Bastard, Kingsgate, The Animation, Fire Force, and Jujutsu Kaisen.
So Vengeance is the opening theme for the Warner Brothers anime Ninja Kamui, that debuted on Toonami and Adult Swim in Feb 2024. Kenjiro Tsuda plays Higan, a former ninja, on a mission to avenge his family while disguising his face to avoid detection from the clan. A spin-off game, Kamui Origins, is scheduled for release in the second quarter of the year. So stay tuned for the next news episode where hopefully we do Kamui Origins. But that being said, I think they are one of my favorite rock bands and the song does not change that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, again, like this song is definitely a like heartbreak song. But, you know, like taking vengeance is not a good idea in real life. But yeah, I definitely understand.
Are you convincing us or yourself, Haru? It's fine.
Anyway. And like, yeah, so I definitely understand the feeling that, you know, like we have to overcome it.
Definitely a strong way to end this episode. Haru, what are your opinions about all the news that we've had and covered in Japan for spring?
Okay, so like there are many things happen in Japan and also like personally. But anyway, I hope that there will be more like happy news or like positive news because the earthquake and also like because of the missing people. So yeah, I hope that summer will be better.
Definitely some sad news, like you said up in the beginning. Some sad news, some good news. We've lost a lot, gained a lot. So I'm really excited to see what the rest of the year has in store for us. But that being said, it may be the end of our exploration of Japanese news. But less than a week from now, Brinton and another host will join him to bring you April's Artist of the Month episode featuring the wonderful vocals of Mao Abe. And with that, I guess we sign off. Hope you all have a great day. And thank you so much for listening.
See you next time. Sayonara.
Japan Top 10, the number one Japanese music podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.